Now, if you Google the name Diane Nalini on the internet, the results might lead you to think there are two people with the same name. There's the Diane Nalini, who's a Rhodes Scholar and a physics professor at the University of Guelph, the one who's building a specialized state-of-the-art microscope. And then there's the Diane Nalini, who is an award-winning jazz singer.
It was a lover and his lass with a hand, a hoe, and a hay. Nanny knew that over the green cornfield did pass. In the springtime, the only pretty ring time, when birds do sing, hey, ding a ding ding.
Well, it turns out there are maybe two different sides of Diane Nalini, but it really is one and the same person. Tomorrow night, this multi-talented singer, scientist, is focusing on her musical side with a concert to premiere her new album, Songs of Sweet Fire. It's a uniquely modern spin on the words of William Shakespeare. Diane Nalini has collected 15 Shakespearean songs and sonnets and set them to original jazz, funk, and blues music. And she is on the line with us from her office in Guelph. Good morning.
Good morning.
So where did you get the split personality from? What's the origin of this?
I guess I've had a split personality all my life. I started singing jazz when I was about three, but at the same time, I was always very curious about how the world worked, and I think as I grew up, that translated into a passion for science and eventually for physics.
Why do I suspect these are probably the only two sides we know about, and there are many more?
I guess you'd be right that there are many more, but I've always had a real passion for arts and sciences. So when I was little, I also studied classical ballet for quite a while, and I was obsessed with ballet. I wanted to be a ballerina, and then eventually I discovered my tendons weren't going to hold out on me very well. And also I thought, you know, it's easier to be a scientist who still dances for pleasure than it is to be a ballerina who's trying to read Scientific American under the table.
Although you are a walking example of why arts education matters for improving the brain in all kinds of ways.
You know, right? I'm glad you made that point. I'm not sure if I'm an example, but certainly I benefited from it so much when I was growing up. Somehow, being able to dance every evening, it made me so organized about doing my homework more quickly because I knew I had to get in my 2 hours of ballet at night. And I think you're right. I think, you know, kids need stimulation from all different angles. So it's tragic that music and fine arts are being cut from curricula. So yes, we need to bring back more of that.
Okay, but let's get back to you.
Okay.
The idea for this is to take the words of Shakespeare and give them a bit of bounce with some jazz music. Where did this come from? What was the notion?
Well, I a few years ago, about 2001, I was setting poems with a friend of mine who's also a composer, and we did a concert of all poetry set to music, and I was working with Tennyson and Garcia Lorca and Cristina Rossetti, as well as Shakespeare, and somehow the Shakespeare poems we were setting, they were the songs from the plays, and I really got into Twelfth Night. That was how I started. I set a couple of pieces from there, Mistress Mine and Rain Every Day, and The Lover and His Last from As You Like It. And as I got into it, I realized that these songs were fantastic because I loved the lyrics. I felt that they had a real life of their own outside of the context of the plays in which they took place. And so over the years, I would just set a few songs every year from Shakespeare's plays and a couple of the sonnets. And suddenly I realized last year, I thought, my God, I've got an album's worth. I have 15 songs. I should record this and get it out there, because I would perform these songs at festivals and at gigs. And all the fans would come up to me afterwards and said, we want your Shakespeare songs. When are you going to record those? And at first I didn't realize there would be an interest in having an album of just the Shakespeare songs. But I realized that I should do it. You know?
Why not? But what do you think is the pull then? Is it that they recognize some of the words? They know where it's going?
You know, I think that the pull is simply people think, wow, jazz and Shakespeare, that's got to be weird. And then they're surprised that it works, because they realize, I think the way that these songs are set, the way I've written the music, hopefully draws attention to the fact that his lyrics are really timeless, because people aren't expecting to hear funk music or swing rhythms or gospel harmonies set to these words. And I think I chose them. I was careful to choose only those songs which were written in very modern sounding English. So somehow it fits. It doesn't. It's not as strange as people might imagine.
Well, it's true. So you're listening to it, some of them you think, oh, that can't be Shakespeare. That's way too sassy.
Yeah, he is very sassy, and he's sarcastic and sometimes quite cynical about life. That's what I love about him. Is he celebrates love with one sentence, and then the next one he's saying, "Oh, but watch out, you married men out there, because the cuckoo song is going to, you know, get you." I love that line, that the cuckoo song is unpleasing to a married ear because it reminds people of being cuckold. So he's singing about springtime and how beautiful it is, but then he's saying, "Watch out for the cuckoo's song."
Right. And what about "Take Those Lips Away"? What is that from?
That's from Measure for Measure. And what's great about it is when you read the title, you think, wow, that sounds like a harassment song or something. Stay away from me. But actually, she's saying that, your lips are tempting, and keep them away from me, because I know you might be untrue as a lover. But it's quite a beautiful, sort of poignant poem. And that's why I said it as a bossa nova, because I thought it had a sultry, sort of sexy edge to it.
Well, it sure does.
Thank you. Did
you learn anything about Shakespeare you didn't know before?
Oh,
when you were writing these?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there was one point when I was sending a piece by from Twelfth Night that's sung by Feste, and I wasn't sure what the exact meaning of it was. So I asked a colleague of mine from Oxford, his name is Tony Nuttall, he's one of the world's foremost authorities on Shakespeare, and I said, you know, what is he singing about? Because he's taunting this a character in Twelfth Night, and he's saying, "Adieu, good man, devil," and "goodbye to the devil." And I said, what's going on here? And he sort of put it in context for me. He said, well, you know, the character he's singing to is very puritanical, and so he's trying to taunt him by pretending to be friends with the devil, but it's all just a big joke. So, yeah, I learned a lot about the context for that song in particular, but for all of these, really, it was really a great way of getting into the deeper meaning of some of these songs and how they fit in with the plays.
Did it take a physicist to do this?
Well, I didn't have my physics hat on when I was writing them, so I suspect not.
No.
Sometimes I think I have to reboot my brain into different modes, you know, in the morning, either I'm going to be a physicist and then at night I reboot into music mode.
Well, I think it's excellent that you can be both.
Oh, thank you.
You know, why do you have to choose in life? You can have it all,
exactly,
Diane.
That, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what I think. Why do you have to choose? I don't want to have to choose, Avril.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Avril.
That's Diane Nalini, a physics professor and a singer-songwriter, a singer-physicist. She will be launching her new album, Songs of Sweet Fire, with a concert tomorrow night at the War Memorial Hall at the University of Guelph. Here she is with Take Those Lips Away.